Good afternoon to you, my ready friends. This is Reverend Joseph Caesar coming to you again one more time on the BBS radio to bring the good news to you. Well, I pray that this message would be a blessing to you. And I love good news. And I'm sure you all love good news as well. There's nothing like good news. But this evening, I want to talk to you from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, beginning from verse 1. It says here, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a burning bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see the great sight, this great sight I might see, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the burning bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground.' Moreover, he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, thy cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.' And Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?'" Well, that was a question. That was a specific question. Now, Moses had a special calling in on his life. And he has been set aside. Moses was like an elite. He was called the Exodus hero. The story was told in the book of Exodus, but it starts in Genesis with the story of Abraham and his family, with whom God makes a covenant, generalizations and creation. Later, the biblical Moses draws the extended family together in the form of a nation with the structure and code of law given to him on Mount Sinai. Well, some might say that God himself was the Exodus hero. But in human terms, the biblical Moses takes center stage throughout the whole Pentateuch of the Bible. He was a rather solitary leader, one with his people, but set apart. Even in his own childhood time, when he was raised by the Pharaoh's daughter as if he was an Egyptian prince. So now God called Moses because he has been set aside, he has been chosen. But Moses came up with five excuses, excuse after excuse. Moses says to God, I am not qualified to fulfill my calling. God gives instructions to Moses to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. But Moses responds to his calling, who am I? Who am I? Now the second excuse. Moses says to God, I lack knowledge to fulfill my calling. But God had commanded Moses to talk to the children of Israel and to tell them what God had told Moses in regard to their deliverance out of Egypt. But Moses pleaded, I lack knowledge. He keep on going from one to the other. He came up with the third excuse. I do not believe I can fulfill my calling. But his third excuse to God was that he did not believe he, Moses, had the power to fulfill the calling that God had told him to do. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Human nature always do that. Moses saw a burning bush, but at the same time, the bush had not been consumed. But he had this. But he go right back and give excuses because he don't want to go and do what God has told him to do. He came up now with the fourth excuses. He said, this is not my calling. No, this is not my calling. So his fourth excuse to God was that his speaking and leadership ability were lacking, and that leading the people of Israel could not be his calling because he was not eloquent in speech nor a quick tongue. So what he was doing again is looking for an easy cop-out, passing the buck, as we say today. You know, he's not eloquent in speech. But when God called you, God was just saying to him, like, okay, Moses, you said all that, but you got to go do my bidding for me. I am going to make sure that you go and do that bidding. I am sending you. I'm going to get somebody for you. You're not getting away. And the fifth excuse is, I do not want to fulfill my calling. Some people are so fortunate to get a divine calling. It's very fortunate. Not everybody is going to get that call. I am so happy and so glad that God has called me. He saw something special in me that he can use. So look what I did. I step up to the plate. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Moses' excuse this time was that he did not desire to fulfill his calling and lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He basically asked God if someone else could fulfill the calling that God gives to him. Oh, my. There are more excuses and excuses and excuses. Constantly excuses and excuses and excuses. When God called, you better answer. There are no good excuses for denying the calling that God has given to us. It is part of our human nature to come up with a good excuse when we are accused of something. Whenever we show or stray from God's purpose in our lives, most of us can come up with a good excuse to distance, you know, come up with that to justify our actions. God, our Creator, has a purpose for all of us. Instead of answering God's call, we will give what we think are good excuses not to fulfill our calling. We do that all the time. All the time we do it. When Adam called God, he came with good excuses. Again, it is part of our human nature to come up with a good excuse. We are accused of something, but this pattern with a good excuse is that it does not cover our wrong. It cannot cover our sins, our wrongdoing. When we have sinned against God, we always come up with something to try to get away from God. Again, who is Moses? Moses was a man who has been set apart. He was the elite Moses is like the great ambassador, that when the people has to send the ambassador someplace, they look for the best to represent. But Moses tried to shirk his divine responsibility. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, blaming other people. Whenever we stray from God and for God purposes in our lives, most of us can come up with good excuses to justify our actions. The number one excuse is to blame it on the other person. Let's go to Adam and Eve. It is the woman that you gave me that make me sin. Always there is an excuse, but it can't justify your sin. It can't. Exodus 32 and verse 23 tells how Aaron tried to blame his brother for his sin. When God calls, is it a good excuse to say, I am not ready? Whenever God calls, is it a good excuse to say, I am not ready? No, no. God is calling all of us, but most of us thinks we are not ready to fulfill God's purposes in our lives. Most of us want to be in the background so that you would not be seen or be called upon at times. Instead of answering God's call, we will give what we think is a good excuse to not fulfill our calling. Like, who am I? I can't speak. Think there are always some excuses. Jeremiah once, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 6, tells us how Jeremiah tried to avoid his own calling as a prophet. Is there any good excuse not to fulfill the calling on your life? I wouldn't see that. I wouldn't find if there would be a reason not to. It should be a feather in the cap. There is no good excuse for not fulfilling the calling that God has put on our lives. We can say, I am not ready. I am unworthy. I do not want to do it. I can't do it, etc., etc. But none of these excuses matter to God. None. When you God call, you must answer. Step up to the plate and say, here am I, Lord. Send me. You know, let's go back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Moses before the burning bush gives God excuses on why he cannot fulfill his calling. I know. There is no excuse to defy God. None whatsoever. Though and his supernatural power is invincible.
All of us in our hearts of hearts knows there is a God and what is right from wrong. We know that. From God's perspective, there is no excuse for sin. Sin is simply, you know, a disobedient or being disobedient to God. God is our judge and divine justice. We cannot be God when we decide what is right and what is wrong. It may be in our human nature to judge people and to sin against God, but there is no excuse to do it or to justify that. Samuel rejects Saul because Saul had no excuse for his disobedience. So once you hear God's word, you have no excuse, because the day is going to come, and that day of reckoning, once you hear his word, you have no excuse. There will not be a stone left unturned. Every man will hear his word. And there is no excuse not to acknowledge him. John 15:22 tells and advises us that there is no covering up of sin from God. None. Romans 2:1 tells us that it's inexcusable to judge others, and that we condemn ourselves when we judge others. When we judge others, we condemn. We condemn ourselves. Yeah? Romans 1:20 tells us and advises us that we are without excuses in denying our Creator. So Moses had a calling on his life. He came up with the most bogus of excuses because he didn't want to go. He came up with so many things. But God knew his plan. God had a plan for Moses. Every man has a calling on his life. Yes, no matter what, he has to fulfill his calling. He must fulfill his calling. Every man must have his own standing before God. Now Moses is telling the Lord, I cannot speak. I stutter a lot. The Lord is saying, okay, I'll get somebody to speak, but you're going to do what I said that you must do. The Lord beckons him. He says, listen, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites. God says, he said, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, and that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And instead of all that beckoning, God, Moses is saying, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? But the Lord says, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they said to me, and when they said to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? That's a very legitimate question. Who are you? Who sent you? What's the apostle's name? If you don't have any affiliation, then they wouldn't bother with you. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Say to them that I am has sent me. And so, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. So the Lord said, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and see what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the afflictions of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites. He delivered the message. But before that, there were so many excuses just not to go. Just probably was scared of Pharaoh. Who am I that you're going to send me to stand before this powerful man? I cannot even speak. I don't have the right words to say. But the Lord says, I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. And I want to say to you who are listening this evening, you might be going through a lot of problems on your jobs, in your houses, with your husband, wives, and children, and like there is no ending to the situation. But the Lord has promised to be with you. Promise to be with you. That's his divine promise, and he will never go back on that. And so, Almighty God, I thank you for this message this afternoon that you have given me that divine unction. And I pray, Lord, that those who are below or listening, Lord, would be blessed and to bring honor and glory to your name, I pray. In Jesus' holy name, I thank you. Amen and amen.